Today's reading is from chapter 5 of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, verses 10 to 22. It can be found on page 1188 in the Church Bibles. 1 Thessalonians, verses 10 to 22. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Rosemary. Wonderful. Why don't we welcome Roberto to us? He is one half of our senior pastors with his wonderful wife, Suzanne. Let's welcome him as he comes. All right. Let's pray for Roberto as he opens God's word to us. Father, thank you for Roberto. Thank you for Suzanne and their family. Thank you for their ministry to us in this church. Thank you for the word that you've placed on his heart this morning. We ask that you would speak clearly into our hearts and that you would use Roberto to clearly preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. When I was young, another pastor, I was a young pastor, and another pastor with many more years than me in experience, he said, you know, I want to tell you a story. And he said, there was a time when there was a church, it was a Pentecostal church, and the preacher was going on and on and on and preaching endless, and you know how preachers sometimes we get so excited and we don't know when to say stop and we keep going, and obviously the congregation was beginning to get a bit tired of the sermon. It was a hot day, so it must have been in Spain. And the doors were open of the church and also the windows, and out of nowhere this frog comes through the main door, just jumping all the way to the front where the preacher was preaching, and just stood up right in front of the preacher. So the Pentecostal pastor said, you know, oh, brothers and sisters, I wonder what this frog is trying to tell us. Maybe the Lord has a word for us through this frog. And somebody at the back, an old man at the back, stood up and put his hand up, and I said, yes, I know what he's saying. I said, please, brother, you know, tell us what he's saying. And he said, I think like in the times of Moses, the Lord is saying to Pharaoh, let my people go. So this is always my fear, because I am a preacher and, you know, it is so easy to lose control of the time that we can go over time, and that sermon could be a fantastic sermon, becomes to be a burden. Because all of us have a limitation on how much information we can gather. Yeah, are you with me? Good. If you were Pentecostal, you will say amen. Amen. Good, you see? You are. So anyway, so when I do that is I normally tell my wife, who sits at the back, but when I preach, I say my wife to sit at the front, so she can put her hand up or do that, And yes, obviously I know, so I know that I also have now 5 minutes just to land, all right? So please, will you take 20 minutes from now? No, from the story, okay? Anyway, this is a very interesting passage of Scripture. We are looking at overflow of the Spirit, overflow of kindness, overflow of love, overflow in the church, and that when it becomes really full of the Spirit and full of love of God, this comes out. We cannot keep it. It's like a river full of water. You know, it just has to go out of the river banks. Now, let me be very honest this morning. I will try to be honest and preach with humility and share with you that in my understanding of this subject, sometimes my river has gone quite dry. And when I say that, even in my church back in Spain, people get surprised that the pastor can confess that sometimes his own personal river has gone dry. Probably only a little stream of water, but not much more than that. And in those days, it was very essential to receive encouragement from other people, encouragement from the congregation, encouragement from pastors around me, just to keep going, encouragement for my wife, from my family. Encouragement is one of the most important words in the letters of Paul to the churches. Encourage each other. Keep going. I know you are feeling under pressure. I know you are feeling down. I know there are things in your life that are not working as they should. I know there is unemployment, financial crisis, tensions within the family, difficulties with your children. And continuously, Paul, which is a fantastic theologian, but also a marvelous pastor, is saying continuously, keep going. And these words of encouragement are something that we all need continuously. It's like these streams of water that comes to the river and help us to keep going. So for Paul, encouragement is very important. For the church, it's important. For our families, are important. Whether you are a believer or we have no faith at all, keep encouraged. Encourage for you and encourage to other people around. In this passage, which I read, there are two important things. One of them is that you are children of light. Believers are children of light. You are children of light. You are not living in darkness anymore. You have seen the light and you are working as a children of light. The other important thing is to take into account that don't put up the Spirit's fire. And that is easily to be done. The Holy Spirit is within us, but sometimes we leak of the Spirit. And I know that because in the panel of my spirit, it's like if it was a car, sometimes I see the red little light flashing. When it begins to flash, it's like I haven't got petrol. You know, I'm running out of petrol. Yes, of course I have the Spirit of God in me, but I'm running out of petrol. Something has to be done. I have to revise my life. I have to do certain decisions so I can go to the local petrol station and fill my life again with the power and the flow of the Spirit. Because if I am full of the Spirit, that overflows and goes to somebody else. So that's why the Apostle Paul in this passage, there are, in 10 verses, he gives 17 commands. 10 verses, 17 commands. Do this and do that. I urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid. I'm not going to say, if I was in my church, I would say, please put your hand up, all of you who are timid. I'm not going to do it here because you're British. So it won't work. I know it's not going to work. There are so many people, and in my work with my wife, and when we visit people in their homes, we know and we realize there are so many people who are timid. The self-confidence is low. And our job continuously is to encourage and to tell them how valuable they are in the eyes of God. They are indispensable for the life of the church. And many people said to us, you know, look, I'm not born in the church. And I say, well, you know, that is completely unbiblical. The Bible tells me that everybody in the congregation are important members of the body of Christ, and we cannot live without you. And they look at me with face like, I'm not sure whether to believe it. And I say, you don't have to believe me. I didn't write this. This is what the Bible tells me, that every member of this congregation or any congregation in the world are fundamental for the body of Christ, for the life of the church. So what Paul is trying to tell us here is, please, when you hear the word of God, when you hear the word of God, this exhortation comes in the middle of a list of things to do. Don't put out the Spirit by disregarding this kind of teaching. Listen to it. Put it into practice. Be careful that you don't pour a bucket of water into the fire. Bless people inside. Bless people outside. Don't disregard the teaching of the Word of God. Keep it continuously on focus. It doesn't matter what the pressures of life are. In another letter, Paul writes to Titus. And he says, you know, at one time you were foolish. Let me read it to you. At one time, we too were foolish. He involves himself. Disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We live in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness of the love of God, you see? But when the kindness of the love of God, God our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Not because of our righteousness, because of our righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy. My wife and I, we have this custom in us that, you know, when we wake up in the morning, we try to remember three things to mind, three things in which we can bless the Lord for His kindness. It is a discipline. I want to believe from the moment I wake up in the kindness of God. There are three things this morning. There must be three things this morning that God has been kind with me. In the last few weeks has been the weather. Summer has arrived. What a beautiful thing it is. I don't have to go to Malaga or to Spain. You know, it's here. But being, you know, being truthful, there are so many things in which I, when I wake up and I say, Lord, thank you for health. Thank you for my family. Thank you because I'm not in a country where there is war or famine. Thank you because we have laws. Thank you because we have police officers who put the way they can, you know, these laws into enforcement to give us peace. Thank you because I can walk through the streets without fear. And this helps my spirit to be full of the kindness of God, so I can be also kind to others. It's an attitude of mind, a positive attitude of mind about God. And we all have to do this. It's like moving a muscle. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my health. And this helped me to overflow. My river begins to get a little bit more full of water, more full of the Spirit. So the Apostle Paul is saying, you know, love everybody. Be kind with everybody. Always be kind to each other and everyone else. These words here give me a headache. For I love to be kind to those who are kind with me. I suppose you are like me, but sometimes I find people who are unkind, and I find it so difficult to be kind. I need self-control. I need the love of God. I need patience. I need to understand what that person is. Sometimes that person is in a dry land. So asking from that person water is not on. I wish the Apostle Paul didn't put this phrase here to everyone else. It will make my life easier. This is like this cartoon that I used to watch. Can you remember Charlie Brown? Yeah? He's a funny guy, isn't he? But so much wisdom, you know. Charlie Brown and his friend Lucy are both our characters. So Charlie Brown says, I wrote this sentence here in a conversation, I love mankind. It is people I cannot stand. We can be so general in the way, oh, we love people. You know, 1 minute. Do you really? Go to the specific. Is there anybody that you think, this person is a pain? ... It really is difficult to love this person. It's difficult to be kind to this person. But what the Lord is saying here in this passage to the Apostle Paul is that if you do all these things, you are not quenching the Spirit. It's in the other way around. The Spirit of God becomes alive in you. But you have to have faith to put it into action. And sometimes, no, it's not going to work. This person has been unkind with me, and he is going to be unkind with me forever. I don't believe it. That's why the Apostle Paul says, you know, don't put up the Spirit's fire, you know, by doing something which is not right in the eyes of God. You have received kindness from God. The love of God and the kindness of God has overflown over you. Is it true? Then it has to come out. It has to come out. At the beginning of the passage, the Lord says through Paul, you are sons of the light, sons of the day. You are sons of the light, sons of the day. Behave like children of light. This is a command. I haven't got a choice. What does a renewed church look like? It will be so interesting to hear your answers. What does a renewed church look like? What does a renewed Christian look like? I've seen many people becoming Christians over the last 30 years in ministry. They become alive. They're so full of joy and passion for the things of God and kindness to people, and they are able to forgive those things that, you know, they were not right. Because they are overflowed. The love of God and the kindness of God has come to them in such a way that they cannot stop being kind to others, loving others. So, yes, what does a renewed church look like? A renewed church overflows in kindness and love, first of all, to the members of the family. And there is so much love and kindness within us that it goes out. You cannot stop it. It's like when it rains in this country, which it does. And you see these enormous areas full of water. Why? The river couldn't handle so much water. Exactly the same with Christian and Christian life. Yes, what does a child of light look like? In 2011, there was a video, which we are going to see in a few minutes. This video is called Kindness Boomerang. When you go back home, try to look in YouTube, this fantastic system to look all kinds of things. This video, Kindness Boomerang, was shown, and within a few months, more than 20 million people watched it. And many of these people, I'm sure, they did an act of kindness. Let's watch it, and then we speak a little bit about this boomerang effect, okay?
Sometimes I lay under the moon, I thank God I'm breathing, and I pray, don't take me soon, 'cause I am here for a reason. Sometimes in my tears I drown, but I never let it get me down, so when negativity surrounds, I know someday.
Fantastic video. I love it. What a simple message. You receive the love of God in your life, and you do it to somebody else. You receive kindness, and you are kind to somebody. You receive a word of encouragement, and you encourage somebody else. My wife has encouraged me, saying, "You only have 5 minutes to go, and then I will be kind to the congregation." The boomerang effect works everywhere, in the church and outside the church. So when I watched this video, it really, I became emotional. It was like a good sermon. Not with words, but just with actions. If we want to preach the gospel has only got true, powerful effect when the gospel goes together with social action. It's not just words we preach, but it's words in action. It's not just kindness we preach, it's the kindness that I want to show to you and you to others. That's what the Lord is saying. If I have been kind to you, it's for you to be kind to others. If I have shown you my love towards you when you didn't deserve it, it's for you to show your love and compassion to others when they don't deserve it. How powerful is the gospel when it goes together with social action? In our church back in Spain, the last one, every week, it was a tiny church, 120 members. Very small, incredibly small resources. I can tell you, 40% of the congregation was unemployed or had very poor jobs, part-time jobs. Every month, we managed to feed over 600 people, feed them and clothe them, teach them how to do a CV, how to use computers. Many of them were coming from immigration from other countries in Europe, Eastern Europe, or South America. But because we show kindness and love to people, the one we have received from God, then people began to hear God's word. They began to pay attention to God's word. And the Lord in his mercy touched many, many people with no Christian background whatsoever. The love of God is a boomerang. And we have to train ourselves to use also that boomerang to touch and affect other people around. And it works. So we are going to have also the band now. Is the band? Yes. And then I'll sit down for a few minutes just to let you think about that. Just for a couple of minutes. Just think about it. And then Chris will finish the service. So may the Lord bless you, and especially that the word of God preached this morning will be in your heart, and let it grow. Let it grow. From time to time, pour a little bit of water. Okay? And when you see the word of God growing in your life and changing you, that brings, like a boomerang, overflow in your life. And then you do it more. And then you receive more from God. And it's a vicious circle. Sorry, I shouldn't use that word, vicious circle. Sorry? Virtuous circle. You see, this is the problem I had with language. Anyway, may the Lord bless you in this growth of understanding the love of God and the flow of the Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. I invite guys to come back and to lead us. And as we reflect on what Roberto said, can I encourage you in something that Roberto said right at the beginning of his message, which was all around thankfulness. And we talked about that right at the beginning of the gathering as well, making time to be thankful. Can I encourage you, as we begin to worship again, as we have space just to reflect, to take the time also to write down on those cards things that you're thankful for, things that God has done in your life in the last year, or the last month, or even today.